Blog Talk Radio.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 Gooden Storm!
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make a do with a do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
I would never vote for anyone based on gender or race. I'm voting for Barack Obama not because he's black. I'm voting for Barack Obama because he's brilliant.
Who is Barack Obama? Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here by my father, Jor-El, to save the planet Earth. If I had to name my greatest strength, I guess it would be my humility. Greatest weakness, it's possible that I'm a little too awesome.
It's not a police officer's job to discipline somebody's children. That's a parent's job. And if the parents don't step up and discipline their children, then they're going to see me and I won't be as charming as I normally am.
Sunday, and of course, if it's Sunday, it's time for Adam, Where Art Thou? With the very lovely Kathleen Williams. Hey, Kathleen, what's up, girl?
Hey, Jay, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing outstanding, and you?
Oh, I'm doing great, thank you. I'm doing really good. It's been a long, hot summer, but unfortunately, the summer has come to an end in New York anyway. It's all up here.
Oh, well, you know, I think it's probably about 70-something degrees here, so, you know, we're just chilling like villains in the great state of Texas.
Oh, yuck, yuck, yuck. Thank you for rubbing that in. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Anytime.
So have you been barbecuing? What's going on down there?
No barbecue, just in the middle of what I would call an electronic operation. I'm trying to fix a piece of equipment so I have parts every damn where. So the key is, when I put it back together, if I have leftover parts, I did something wrong. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look, great show this morning, Jay, on the serious side.
Well, you know, of course, I'm never there by myself. I'm there with my outstanding colleagues. One that I'm with happens to be right here, right now, Miss Kathleen Williams. So, hey, can't do it without you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening in to Adam, Where Art Thou? We have another great show planned for you this evening. And it's just, you know, Jay, so much has been going on in the media and just in the country right now, and some really interesting things. You know, what do you think of the assassination of this latest Al-Qaeda member? What do you think about that, Al-Laq?
I didn't even try to attempt to say that name this morning. You know, bottom line is that, like we talked about earlier, you know, President Obama's like, look here, it's on and popping. You know, we're going to come and get you. I mean, so, you know, just goes to show you, no matter where you are, you're never safe, and the United States will look for you and eventually will kill you. So that's a good thing.
you know, it's actually, you're absolutely right. And it's really interesting because as you watch him and compare, as we, just like we talked about this morning, as you said, so hey, everybody that you're listening, if you're not listening to The Serious Side on Sunday morning, please tune in because as you can tell, we have some really interesting conversations and important conversations. But just
absolutely,
as we mentioned this morning, the president was criticized in his campaign for not being ready to handle these kinds of issues. So we see that he is rising to the occasion. And anybody who thought that was wrong, I guess. Looks like, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, because that people thought that would be his weakness. And it looks like probably out of all the things that he's done, especially to the average Joe, that his foreign policy is on point. I mean, people who don't follow politics as close as we do may not understand all the things that he's done. You know, I mean, if you go back and look at his accomplishments, a lot of people, experts out there, have said he has been the most productive U.S. president in U.S. presidential history. But he's not going to get that because you have too many you have too many people out there who has an agenda, and they're not going to allow those types of accomplishments to take center stage. So there you go.
You're absolutely right. So listen, what do you think about Kobe playing in Italy?
Now, has that been confirmed? Or I know they made him an offer, and he was contemplating it, and I think the contract language had something to do with, hey, you know, if the NBA comes back up, then, you know, you have to allow him to, you know, get out of his contract immediately. I haven't been following it, but I thought that that it's not for sure just yet, but they did make him an offer. And so did a team in Japan as well.
Right. They did definitely offering him a nice little penny for playing. And I think they gave him a date because I think it's 40 days is what they were saying. What I read anyway was 40 days because they're anticipating that the NBA lockout may go for another 40 days. And the person who leaked it, and they did say it was a leak because then that person would not give their name, and they said that the deal is just about 95% done. So it's just about inked. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if the NBA lockout is going to continue. And your boy Dwayne Wade lost his temper the other day there, huh? Talking to the commissioner, the NBA commissioner.
Well, I tell you, it's funny that you have all this information because, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is trying to get Powerhouse Sports up. So, I mean, you're telling me, so this is news to me. I mean, I'm like, really? Oh, yeah? You've been reading ESPN.com. And I haven't, apparently. So, no, that's news to me. I didn't hear anything about that. That's
well,
a damn
yeah.
shame, but okay.
They had a meeting, you know, of course, addressing this lockout. And Dwayne Wade went off on the commissioner, calling him by his first name on a few occasions. And the commissioner apparently was pointing his finger in the face of a lot of the players and pointed his finger at Dwayne Wade, or at least Dwayne Wade perceived it as such. And Chris Broussard, Chris Broussard is a friend of the show, and a friend of, I'm just saying, he's one of the International Men's Day honorees and the keynote speaker from last year. He works for ESPN Sports, covers all of the NBA, and he's the one that reported on it in a couple of articles saying that Dwayne Wade, you know, got loud with the commissioner in the meeting and said, listen, you're pointing your finger in my face, I'm not a child. And apparently it was perceived as being a heated exchange, if you will, between this year Dwayne Wade, commissioner of basketball. So we will see if anything comes of that. But apparently these meetings are getting hot and hotter and hot and hotter.
Well, maybe that's one of the reasons why. Maybe Dwayne Wade is saying, look, I am going overseas. I'm not going to be here anyway. I'm going to say what I need to say, and I'm gone. So you never know.
Now, that's interesting. Now, is he thinking about going overseas too?
Yeah, all of them. I think, you know, one of the things we did talk about on Powerhouse Sports is the fact that the NBA is in trouble because if the NBA's cash cows go overseas, you know, unlike the NFL, the NBA players have an alternative. You know, the NFL lockout was a situation where you knew that people were going to start doing deals because there are Bentleys and Mercedes and all types of cars sitting in the parking lot that needs to be paid for it. Whereas the NBA guys, they can go overseas and play. And so, you know. Yeah, so.
Now, which ball player, Which ball player is it that's working in a furniture store? Did you see that?
No. You got me on that one as well. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Right now, I'm going to tell you, because I saw that and I said, whoa, I should have, working in, as you can hear me typing in my Google, Delonte Webb.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. Wow.
Riding out the lockout, working from a furniture van.
Wow, that is crazy.
My son is in the other room. He said, what?
Yeah, maybe that's a situation where he's just trying to do something for pub, because I would like to think he's made more money than that. But, you know, hey, you never know. Wow, interesting.
Okay, so
interesting.
Here's the headline. It was in the New York Daily News Friday. Delonte West takes a job working at a Maryland furniture store. He said, I need a second job to stay afloat.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is nuts. Wow. But, you know, hey, it's, you know, you never know what's going on with some of these athletes, which, you know, is a beautiful segue into what's going on tonight. So what are we doing tonight? What's happening? What do we have on the agenda for this evening?
Well, we have, listen, this is going to be a really interesting and exciting conversation. So I'm hoping, and I'm doing my best to get into the chat room over on the TDRS Radio Network, and I'm having trouble getting in there. But I have a link for it, and I can't seem to get in. But anyway, we're going to be talking to a martial arts expert, a boxer. He has boxed in the Golden Gloves, and we'll talk about all of that. And he trains boxers. He also works with a lot of people on their fitness. He's a friend of the show. He's been a guest on my television show, I'm Just Saying. His name is Devon Hill, and he's going to be talking to us tonight about all aspects of, you know, fitness, health, and also you heard about this new book that came out called they call him Sweetness, about Walter Payton, which really talks about the injuries that Walter Payton had and whether or not, well, they don't talk about it, but it brings up the whole issue of whether or not these sports like football and boxing are really safe for our children in particular, is what I wanted to bring out tonight. So for the moms out there, the dads out there, and everybody who has a child in sports or is engaged in sports, and you want to listen to this conversation, because Devon has some interesting gold nuggets he's going to drop on us tonight.
Cool. Can't wait.
Yeah, and Ronnie's here with us tonight, of course, and she's only going to hang out with us for a little bit, so we're going to bring her into the conversation so she can jump in, too. But I want to go ahead and introduce Devon, and Jay, I know you'll get a kick out of this. One of the things that I hear an awful lot about is when people are talking about black women in particular, and they often say that, you know, hey, black women are just too heavy, you know? Too many of them are just too fat. And is part of the reason that they don't want to work out because of their hair?
Okay. If you say so. Alrighty, let me tell you something. I'm not going to get into that conversation, because back in 2009, we had to have an apology tour because of some stuff we said on the show, so I'm going to be silent. Yes, whatever you say.
Really? You got in trouble? Okay, well, we're going to have the conversation tonight, and thank goodness I have Ronnie here with us. Ronnie, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, good evening. How are you? How's Jay? How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Did they put the fire out in your state?
I think they did, but hey, it's not in my neighborhood, so I don't care. I shouldn't say that, but yeah, I guess so.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. It was looking pretty smoky. And but everything's good. It's a little chilly here in New York, but it's, you know, at least it's not snowing yet.
That's right. At least it's not snowing.
Well, and we reported that we may get snow flurries next week, so.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I know what to do. I got to get busy, get that oil in the tank, and stop playing around.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. So I want to welcome now to the show Mr. Devon Hill of Champion Breed Unlimited. Thank you so much for being here tonight on Adam, Where Art Thou, Mr. Devon Hill. Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, hey. Good. How are
you? How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Good. Thanks so much for being here tonight. You've got a lot going on, Devon.
Yeah, I do. Just trying to maintain right now and, you know, keep myself organized and structured right now.
Well, one of the things, well, first of all, let's just jump in a little bit about your upcoming trip. You're on your way to the Dominican Republic. Tell us a little bit about that and about your boxing career.
Well, I started off, I've been in boxing for a long time, on and off. I started since 1990, 91. Being I was a street kid, I was really into the hustling and stuff like that. But I started taking boxing seriously in 2004. I competed in various tournaments like Golden Gloves, then became a master fighter, then wound up becoming a boxing trainer. As far as the Dominican Republic trip, we have a young lady named Nisa Rodriguez who's actually going out there to compete against a young lady who's supposed to be fighting in the Pan Am Games and possible Olympics. And they asked for me to go to be the to train her for the four days that we're going to be out there.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do a lot of traveling. You do a lot of traveling. You have a lot of boxers that you're working with right now. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, I mean, I deal with some pro fighters, some up-and-coming pro fighters. I deal with a lot of amateurs of all walks of life, from young kids to adults, for JO's regular, you know, amateurs like Golden Glove fighters and adult level fighters who compete in the Masters tournaments. So I'm training like all types of people.
And one of the things that you were telling me about when we first met was that you work, so that this boxing helps a lot of the young men keep them straight on the straight and narrow and helps them as far as education and all that goes. Talk to us a little bit about that too.
Well, as far as I'm very big on the education aspect because I always stress is that I don't want any dumb fighters. I don't want anybody who's not being positive, not just for the community part, but just for just a role model. Because a lot of times when these kids are, some of them in the city, some of them are really good kids, some of them are being picked on or bullied. I try to organize a family-oriented type of boxing team where they can converse and deal and network with different cultures to become, actual stand-up people in the communities as well as in their home. A lot of them are dealing with peer pressures or just need to be talked to, or they're not getting attention, or, you know, the list goes on and on.
And that's important, too. And it's interesting to know that boxing helps them. You know, when I met a lot of the guys that you work with, and they love it. They absolutely love it. And they're good, too. And it's interesting that boxing helps them. That's something that, as a mom, when I was raising my son, I never really thought about boxing. And that takes us into that whole conversation about, you know, whether it's safe and so forth for our kids to be involved in boxing. What do you say about that?
Well, I believe it is safe, even though it is considered a contact sport. A lot of people are not educated on boxing because they look at the TV aspects of it or what the pro fighters do when they try to emulate that. There's nothing wrong with that, but at the same time, is a lot of them not educated on the preparation to get to that level. And what I like to do is, I don't think of boxing as just a sport, but it's an educational thing that can structure your way of life. You know, like you can, it definitely will make you a different person because of the disciplinary aspects of it. And I'm very on point as far as that's concerned, and I make sure that, you know, that people are not trying to take it and make it a weapon or to come out to show their dominance to perpetrate in front of females or males to be accepted amongst their peers. And I think that's one of the things I strongly emphasize as far as boxing.
So that they don't try to get involved in, they're not boxing just to be able to learn how to protect themselves and so forth. Is that what you mean?
Right. I don't believe in, like, boxing. I mean, boxing is the, to me, is the greatest type of exercise. It's a total body sport where you can tone your body in ways that you never thought you can do with just doing personal training. But I do it, you know, boxing is a way of life to me, so it's not just a sport to me. It's just the way I live.
Talk to me about it. What does that mean? I'm not sure I understand that. Just the way you live.
Okay, like, for instance, metaphorically, I would say if a person is, like, what we call identify as a hater, or a person that just doesn't like the type of positivity you bring, I keep them away with my jab. You know, there's
not
other
literally.
Different adversities that come at you, and, you know, you have to slip, you know, slip and move, pivot out, you know, weave them away from them. You know, I use those terms as far as how we deal with people in general. Not a lot of us are strong-minded individuals to just deal with everyday life, but to me, boxing is a total sport where you can be around different types of people, and even though we're looking for the same trying to achieve the same goal, it definitely it just all around changes your life. I mean, I can't explain it to, unless you were really, really in it, but I love the way it makes me feel. I mean, boxing changed my life totally.
And when you say it changed your life, you mean from the you were saying you kind of were running the streets a little bit, and when you got involved in boxing, you became a different man, just stronger in your mindset, stronger in your approach to the way you're living. Is that what you mean when you say that?
Right, because it teaches a different type of discipline that your mother and father can't teach you. I mean, all parents want their kids to be safe. But sometimes a lot of kids don't identify to the parent aspect because most generations are looking at their generation instead of the generation that's coming or the generation that is. And I believe that you being around like-minded individuals, it actually kind of helps you relate and makes you feel that maybe if you are going through a problem, the problem that you have is not as bad as the person that's standing next to you. So we all identify.
Is it similar to what it sounds like to me, and when I did some training with you and so forth, what it reminded me of, and I'm not a martial artist, but it reminded me of the same theme and the same concepts in martial arts. You're training your mind, as in many sports, you're training your mind, not just your body. So you're learning life skills. You're learning how to handle conflict and so forth by using your mind as opposed to using your fist, which is so interesting to me because you figure, okay, you get into boxing and learn how to fight, and so that's what you do. But it's the contrary. Would you say that's true?
It is, and I just want to say this on that note to further that thought, that boxing, martial arts, or any type of sport for that is 100% mental. There's no percentage of this part is mental and this part is part conditioning and this part is exercise. Boxing is 100% mental because if you can't do it in the mind, you cannot do it in the body.
And that's the same thing for a lot of sports. I actually have a chapter about the mental aspect of sports in the book that I wrote, and we're talking about tennis. So much of it really is mental. You can't really stay in the game if your mind starts flipping out on you, playing tricks on you and so forth, and you defeat yourself in your head before you even defeat yourself, you know, before your opponent can defeat you.
Right.
And a lot of times
you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I'm sorry. A lot of athletes, whether it's just boxing or tennis or basketball, sometimes people give their opponents or other players a lot of respect, and sometimes they step into the game or the ring defeated. You know, you can't worry about who this person is or, you know, where they come from or who their coach is. You have to worry about yourself as far as what you've been trained to do. If you're focused on what you're trained to do, it doesn't matter what they've done. I mean, you can respect the fact that they're an athlete, but you don't have to give them the respect to the point where, oh, this person is better than me or whatever case may be. I don't believe in that. I think that's a total falsehood as far as how we're going to go, because we all try to receive the same goal, which is the W. We all want to win, but they can't always be a winner.
Right.
But I say, don't lose, because you're giving this person that much respect.
Right. And that's one of the things, too, that, again, that I talked about is that, you know, one of the ways you know that somebody's respecting you or playing with your head is when they come in and they start talking trash, immediately come in and start talking trash. And if you are not mentally strong, you start paying attention to the trash talkers and it throws you. It immediately will throw you right off your game or off your fight, if you will.
Well, that's true. Also, I mean, like I said, it's a mental game. Like boxing or any sport is 100% mental. If you can defeat somebody mentally, it can't beat you physically. You know, a lot of people can trash talk. A lot of people can intimidate other people. But, you know, it's okay to be nervous, but never be scared. Because at the end of the day, they're not going to kill you. You know, I mean, if that was the case, then it would never be a sport. But it's just, you know, it's about how you were brought up, who your coaches were, who your mentor is, who your family is, what's your support group. I mean, I think that's all a part of the preparation to stimulate you mentally to go out there and perform a task physically.
And so what are the things that you think that people should be aware of or parents should be aware of? Because, you know, this whole concept about football and, like I said, you heard me saying earlier with Walter Payton and the brain injuries that we're talking about, even with Muhammad Ali being a boxer, they're saying that much of the cause of the Alzheimer's that he has is related to brain injury. So even though it is Alzheimer's that he's suffering from, when they examined his brain, they say that the form of Alzheimer's he has is related to brain trauma. And Walter Payton had brain trauma, and some of the other football players and boxers, and many of them get gathered together now and talk about the fact that they're forgetting things and so forth, and they believe it's from so much trauma to the head. So talk to us a little bit about keeping safe in a contact sport.
Okay, keeping safe in a contact sport is very important. In regards to Muhammad Ali, they have to understand that was a different era where they used different types of gloves. The type of gloves that are made today are not like they were yesterday. The padding is different. The structure of a glove is built for more safety, even though it is considered a contact sport. As far as football is concerned, football, you know, they have this certain types of helmets that they use. And, you know, football is also a contact sport where you could do head-on collisions and, you know, things of that nature. What people need to do as far as preparation, they need to educate their athletes on the do's and the don'ts, meaning if you can, you know, if you're going to get in this sport, you have to understand what you can get out of it what you can get from it. You know, that doesn't mean that every fighter that comes out there is going to receive Alzheimer's due to a lot of head blows and stuff like that. A lot of these coaches out there, honestly, don't teach their fighters defense effectively. You know, I say that boldly. A lot of these coaches do not teach their fighters defense. And that even though, you know, Muhammad Ali was considered a very exceptional athlete, but even then, you have to think, again, of the time frame of the type of fighters he fought against. I mean, a lot of these guys were a lot bigger than him. They really punched hard, you know, but that's just one of the consequences of contact sports. That doesn't say that that's guaranteed that's going to happen to you as far as receiving certain things as far as, like, Alzheimer's.
Okay.
So
well,
as far as the safety, I'm sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
As far as the safety issues, I think that if kids, parents are bringing themselves to certain gyms, they should investigate or at least have talk downs with the coaches as far as, or look at the athletes that they have in their gym, what type of safety precautions they go on. A lot of the sparring that you see in most gyms, a lot of them are using 16-ounce gloves, but using 12-ounce headgear or 10-ounce headgear, which is competition. I don't think that's a good thing. You know, I think certain protocols of safety should be measured, but you can't get that always in all gyms because a lot of the gyms don't have the funding to provide for their members, students, or clients for that matter. But, you know, they still compete.
Okay, great. I hear the music coming up, so we're going to take a real quick break and come back. When we come back, I'm going to talk about Lisa Ray. She was actually doing some boxing on her reality show tonight that I saw. So we'll talk about that later when we get back. She got knocked out. So anyway, we're going to go to a break. This is Kathleen Williams, your co-host, Jay Riles, and Ronnie of Ronnie's Faith is here. We're talking with Devon Hill. We will be back in just a moment.
Adam,
where are thou?
Hi, I'm Venus Williams. You know, I heard recently that the two main reasons for not getting an annual mammogram are limited access and fear. I know that there are low-cost and even free screenings at some hospitals and clinics, and I've even heard of mobile mammogram units in some areas. Talk about service. Look, I know getting a screening is not as exciting as shopping, but life is for living. So take the first step to breast health. Get the mammogram. For more information, please visit breastcancerawareness.com.
Back, that was the sounds of Unique. Of course, you can call us at 909-265-9189. It's time for Adam. Let's get back to it. Kathleen, it's all yours,
hey.
Girlfriend.
So listen, I was watching Lisa Ray. I don't know if anybody watches Lisa Ray's reality show. Ronnie, do you watch that?
No, I haven't watched it. Is it new?
No, it's called The Real McCoy. It's a couple of years old, actually, and they still have it on. It's on TV One. So anyway, tonight, and it's a repeat because I know it came on a long time ago, but tonight she was one of the episodes. I think they're doing a marathon. And tonight, one of the episodes, she was getting ready for a photo shoot for, I think it was Black Male Magazine. And so she was trying to get in shape. And one of the places that she went to get in shape was Layla Ali's gym, of all places. So she got it. She got in the ring, and Layla Ali is coaching her. She's training her. So, Devon, kind of like you do, you're in the ring, but you're not. You don't have the gloves on. You have another person sparring with the person that you're training. So she is in there, and she's teaching her how to, you know, to throw her jabs and so forth and how to tuck and roll and all these other things, these techniques that she's teaching her. So Lisa Ray is throwing her jabs and, you know, right, right, left. So she was getting into it, right? So the person that she's sparring with is another woman and a professional fighter, and she was just blocking Lisa Ray's punches. And so Lisa Ray said, well, I want her to hit me. And Layla Ali is like, no, you don't. You don't want her to hit you. She's a professional fighter. You don't want her to hit you. And she says, no, I want her to hit me. I'm from the south side of Chicago. I can block it. I can duck or whatever. This is no fun if I'm just in here throwing punches and she's not trying to hit me back. I want her to hit me. So Layla says, all right. She tells the girl, go ahead, throw a punch at her. So they're in there. Lisa Ray is throwing her punches and, you know, throwing her punches. And the girl lets one punch out, bam, and knocked her
out. Oh.
Knocked her out. Busted her lip and knocked her out. Lisa Ray didn't see the punch coming. She couldn't block it, nothing. It was coming so fast. It just knocked her completely out. And Layla, you know, they're all running to her saying, oh, my gosh, we tried to tell you the girl's a professional. You can't just come in the ring and not know what you're doing. So I tell that story to say, if you don't know what you're doing, let somebody train you. Right, Devon?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of unfortunate that happened to her, but, you know, she probably deserved that one.
Oh, man. But listen, remember when I was coming to the gym, the first thing I said when I got into the ring, do you remember what I said?
You said, I'm scared. You said a lot of things.
I was like, don't hit me. Don't hit me. I don't want anybody to hit me. Don't push me. Don't touch me. I know this is boxing, but don't... I know this is classic, but don't hit me. So listen, and it's not a game. It's really not a game. So if your kids are in the boxing ring or they want to take up boxing, I think it's great. You know, I think learning the martial arts and learning how to defend yourself and boxing, there's a lot of skill in it. You know, the tremendous footwork. And the other thing Layla Ali said was that when women are interested in getting in shape, that is one of the best sports to take up.
Amen to that.
So you agree?
Totally. I think it's the best type of workout that you can do because it's total body. It touches every muscle group that you're doing, that you want to work on.
So tell us some of the success stories, because you tell me a lot about the women that come to work with you because they want to lose weight, they want to get toned, and, you know, want to get stronger in their mindset and so forth. Tell us about a couple of the success stories you've had.
I had a young lady that I used to train. Her name is, we won't discuss her name, but she started off in boxing for a long time, trained with another coach. She didn't really learn much from these people. She defected and then came to me. She had a lot of phobias as far as being that she was an older woman. She was 38 at the time, looking to progress as a fighter. But, thought, because of her age, a lot of people were telling her that she was over the hill, that she would never pick up the reflexes of a young fighter. Once I started training her, I told her, if you're really serious about this, I'll make you a really good fighter. She agreed to it. We got into it. She won her first fight within the first 8 months that I started training her. And then after that, we fought an international champion who is, her name is Misha Mers, author and everything extraordinaire, and coming from Australia with the international experience. She has at least 33 fights that I know of, and we only had one fight at the time, and we beat her on her book signing. That was a really big accomplishment for us. I've gotten another young fighter. His name is Devon Lee, who was got him to rank number 6 in the country. We fought locally in New York, and then we advanced to Lake Placid. Then we advanced to the Nationals. Once you got a U.S. ranking, I think that was another accomplishment as far as championship is concerned. I get a lot of women that come into the gym who always want to be a part of something, but don't understand it and afraid they think that if they train with boxing that they have to compete, and which is not. You don't have to be a fighter to train like one. That's my motto. And depending on who the individual is, because everybody has different retaining levels, I do dietary plans for them. I monitor their progress as far as their weight. And also, again, it's mental. You know, you have to really be involved in order to be in order to see a result. So that's why I'm always open to taking on women.
And that was one of the biggest surprises for me. And of course, you know, the boxer that you were talking about earlier, if you don't want to mention her name, I won't mention her name. But she's the one that I was afraid of when I would go in the ring with her. She used to push me, and I'm like, "Why are you pushing me? Stop it!" And she's like, "Cause you need to move." You know, she's like, "Move, move," you know, and she would push me around and stuff. But she was really good. Boy, was she fit. Yeah. She was really very good. So, I've seen your boxers. They are Devon Lee that you were talking about. It was great talking to him, too. And he was one that really turned his life around after he got involved in boxing, right?
Yeah, he did. He was a street kid from Southside Jamaica, Queens. What I liked about him was that, you know, he came from nothing, and we made him into something. Then we turned him into something else. And then, you know, the result and the commitment that he had was really good because he was focused and he was humble. I still stay, you know, we're still good friends to this day. And, you know, being sometimes coming from inner city kids have the most hunger because they want to get out of the ghetto most of the time. And I think that's what made him strive to be number one. As far as the ladies are concerned, you know, I always applaud training women, which a lot of coaches don't do it. A lot of the old school coaches won't train the women because they want to deal with the attitudes or the PMSing thing. But I always open to it because I think, why should we discriminate women? Because they're just as athletic, but they also have more to prove than and as far as a guy's concerned. They're looked at as the lesser gender, and I feel like that's the motivation for them to become elite. And that's why I'm always open to training women.
And I think, especially when it comes to boxing, we see in gyms, kickboxing became tremendously popular for women in gyms, and we saw, you know, Billy Blanks and all. Is his name Blanks? He was doing a lot of kickboxing, and that became very popular, and a lot of women were really excited about kickboxing. And but just for boxing, the movie Million Dollar Baby brought with it a lot of, I don't know if it was a stereotype or whatever, but certainly making women afraid to really get in the ring and go hard for titles and so forth. That's one thing that I just did not know that much about, and how popular women in boxing actually is.
You know, again, when it comes to women's boxing, you know, again, a lot of people don't feel that they should be on the level of men. I'm not saying that they should or they shouldn't, but I think they should be given an opportunity to perform and to bring some type of a different variety of to the sport, a different look. I think there's, I know some women that are better than some guys. You know, the person that I had that I was training, she was better than most guys that I was training, and she used to really get her licks in. But, again, that you know, they're discriminated against because they are women. But I feel that anybody that's in the ring who comes to fight or comes to compete is a fighter. It has nothing to do with your gender. If you're good, you're good. Skill doesn't have a name or gender on it. If you're good, you're good. Layla, look at Layla Ali or Ann Wolfe. You know, these women are come a long way to achieve skill and have gotten it. So why should we look down upon them because they're women?
Yeah, and I watched her, the fighter that you trained, I watched her sparring with the guys. I watched her sparring with you. And, you know, I was sitting there with my mouth hanging open, like, oh, my gosh, don't hit her. You know what I mean? Please don't hit her. And you all didn't take it easy on her either. When you hit, you hit. And then when she hit, she hit. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. It was, you know, it was really very interesting. And I appreciated it. It gave me a different outlook on the sport. But nevertheless, when I stepped in the ring, I was like, look, don't hit me. That's cool
I think,
for her.
you know what I think, Kathleen? I think that that women should participate into stuff like that because the sport is becoming a little watered down. But even if it's just for weight loss purposes or just fitness purposes, I think they should at least get involved in it because you never know what you can become by doing it.
Yeah, that's true. You told me that. You know, I remember you told me that when I first came over there. And interestingly enough, I had written a blog some long time ago, Teach Your Girls to Box, because I really just felt that that was one of the most important things that dads could do for their little girls is to teach them how to box. Because I still do it now. I get some, if I have something in my hand, Sean, my son is always looking at me like, Mom, would you stop it? Whenever I have something in my hand, I just throw it at him, you know, and it, I just throw, because he always catches it, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, his reflexes are so quick. He catches it. He'll just be standing there not expecting something, and I have something in my hand, I just throw it. And he catches it. And I notice that that's not the same for girls, you know. And if I try to just, like, sneak him and throw a punch or whatever, he's, like, immediately, you can see how his body just moves automatically. And that's something that we don't immediately teach our daughters. You know, we don't teach them the same as, you know, little boys. Their dads are right in there. Come on, throw, you know, put your dukes up, you know. And that, I don't remember my father ever telling me to put up my dukes. The first time somebody told me to put up my dukes, I was, like, in school or something. But I think it's important for girls, one, so that they're not afraid and, you know, to protect themselves, for one, you know, protecting themselves and to make them, give them the confidence that they can take care of themselves and they don't have to walk in fear of somebody attacking them.
Right. I think all women should learn some type of self-defense. Not to become bullies or anything of that nature, but I think they should learn it. Again, it's a great it'll also teach you to eat right because you can't do that type of exercise without eating right. It'll prevent you from smoking. You know, you can't maintain your cardio aspects of what you need to do if you're smoking. So that could be a good ad also. I mean, boxing or any type of self-defense is good for a lot of things. I mean, you know, it's about the purity of the art of the sport, which will make you maintain or look at life in a different perspective. You know, I don't want to make it gender specific, but I think a lot more women should get involved in it because it's really a good thing. And women are more loyal to a cause than anything. So, you know, again, that's why I always have my door open for them.
Mm-hmm. So that'll just bring us right into the next conversation. So, and Ronnie, I know you're going to weigh in on this, right? Talk about, because the conversation always comes up about black women in particular, that they are not taking care of themselves the way they should, that they're heavier than they should be, that rather than, you know, work out and so forth, they would be in the hair salon or the nail salon, and they don't want to obviously then eat properly or work out. So, Ronnie, what do you think? Have you heard that? Is there any aspect to it? What do you think?
I haven't heard that, honestly. Okay, you know, we spent 150 years in the gym. Is that accurate?
Probably.
Is that accurate?
We went nuts, though. We were a little on the crazy side because we went to, was it twice a day we used to go to the gym, right? For hours.
Hours. Without missing. And we weren't the only African Americans in the gym. And let me see. Now, okay, so I'm going to move fast forward. I haven't been to the gym here in town because I'm new, so my gym membership expired at Gold's, and I haven't really replaced my gym membership yet. So that's on my list of to-dos before it gets cold. And I'm going to say that here in this part of the country, if African-American women don't frequent the gyms as much as they should, it could be due to the fact that it's 77.7% cold.
That is
it's
so
really
cold here.
It's really cold. It's freezing.
But truth be told, when we were in the gym like that and being outrageous about, you know, making sure that we were fit in shape and thin and could wear all those fabulous clothes, we were.
And eating well, eating right, don't forget, because he did mention nutrition. The nutrition is paramount to whatever else you might want to do.
But we
because I do remember this. I'm going to say this, though. I'm going to cut you off. I'm sorry, but I got to interject this before it bleeps out. When I go to the workplace and I'm in the company of my sisters, the first thing they want to do is harass me about why I'm not going to have A, In-N-Out with them, B, Colonel
In-N-Out
with them.
Burger. In-N-Out Burger?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You guys don't have it. Okay, so what is it, Burger King? Okay, so I'm not going to have a McDonald burger with them So I'm not going to have a burger with them. I'm not going to have the Colonel that day. I'm not going to go to the pizza. I'm not going to the Olive Garden. You know, why am I drinking that juice? Why am I eating that salad? And these are the sisters. And it's never-ending constant harassment. And then they'll go ahead and say, oh, you're just ridiculous. You're just ridiculous. Why you won't have, you know, I mean, you could eat one chicken wing, it won't kill you. And my answer was, how do you know? Are you a physician? This is a constant fight. Never-ending fight to the point where I would eat in secrecy. I'd go eat in my car. Then they would chase me down to see what I was eating. Okay. Then it would go even further because they would say, okay, so you seem to be in shape. And for the most part of my life, I tried to stay in shape. There's some days where I was not in shape.
About 3 days.
I've had some unshapely days.
3 days you weren't in shape.
We've had some unshapely days. I'm right now, like I said, I'm not in the greatest of shapes. But the bottom line is that when they say, what do you do, what do you eat and what do you do? Then you say, okay, I do this and I eat that. And they say, oh, great. So you can eat fried chicken and you can eat such and such. I say, I didn't say anything about eating fried chicken. And they say, oh, okay. So I said, no, I eat chicken very rarely, maybe here and there. I'll, you know, grill chicken or something like that. And I, most of the time I eat fish and I eat a lot of salads and vegetables. And they said, okay, so you can eat chicken and then you can't get through. I can't get through. What say you? I'm talking to the fitness trainer over there. What say you?
Oh, I was just about to take, can I hit the deck on that too?
She's just going to cut me off. She said, wait, Devon. She's just going to cut me off because I said, okay, so Ronnie, have you heard? She's like, no. But they harass me about what I don't eat. Yeah, okay, Ronnie, right. Okay, go ahead, Devon.
Okay. Well, you know what happened? I had suppressed it. Where's Jay Riles? He's a psychologist. Is he still on the line?
Okay.
It was suppressed.
I'm not a psychologist, but I do play one on TV.
Oh, God. Go ahead, Devon. Don't mind my sister with 3 days of being out of shape. Don't mind her. Go ahead.
You guys are comical, but on a serious note, as far as your food habits is concerned, you know, a lot of people become obese because of their environment or their peer pressure. You know, when you mentioned about going to work, there's a lot of people. I mean, I've had clients that have the same situation where they bring out food trays of like pastries and stuff like that. But again, it's all mental. You have to be the one to say no. I'm gonna not do this because it's your temple that you have to regard. You know, as far as fried food, especially at our ages now, meaning that, you know, I'm just going to say over 30, we should all try to refrain.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We should all refrain from eating a lot of fried food. Yes, of course, you should have a lot of green foods, meaning salads and vegetables, also fruits. You should also incorporate into your diet plan, but at the same time, drink a lot of water or watered-down cranberry juice. I mean, you need to put a lot of natural stuff into your body instead of processed stuff. A lot of people don't know or can identify with that because their body calls for certain things that it's used to. You have to detox in order to see a weight difference. Some people can't lose weight or have a hard time losing weight because they can have a thyroid problem or it could be a genetic thing. It could be a list of a lot of things, but you have to be disciplined, again, mental. You have to be disciplined in order to see a difference in your body. So I wouldn't specify that as far as black women or
white women
or whatever. But honestly, you know, we live in a society or in a country where we're just obese. And I think that's bad because, you know, you wind up putting yourself in the red zone to get diabetes or any other type of diseases or whatever, and then, you know, it's all because you didn't eat right. Or it
but
could
you
be
have more friends,
laughing.
Though.
I'm sorry? Did you say you don't have any friends? Because
I said
of that,
have
well, you need to cut those friends off, and they try to get you to gobble, gobble.
Okay, so now, see, finally, everybody finally gets to see what I have to deal with all the time. See, she gets on this show and she's like so polite and quiet. And then finally, people get to see what I have to deal with. My sister is crazy. Is that the music? Do I hear the music, Jay? I think, yes, I do. I hear the music. So
yes, you do, sweetie. Yes, you do.
I laughed so hard, I couldn't hear it. We're about to go to break. In a couple of minutes, but we got to talk about the junk in the trunk, okay? Because the sisters, when I lost weight, this is my story for tonight. I picked up weight because people said that, listen, you're too skinny. Black guys don't like skinny women, all right? So when we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not it's an issue, whether black women really think that they need to carry more weight because they want to be able to attract men by carrying a little more junk in the trunk. So on that note, we're going to go to break. This is Adam, where art thou? You listen to
As we
to
all go to break. We're going to all come back in disguise.
We're going to come back and eat a donut. So we'll be back in a second. This is Kathleen Williams. You're listening to Adam Where Art Thou? My co-host, Jay Riles. We're talking to Devon Hill and Ronnie Sarai. We'll be back in a minute.
Adam,
where art thou?
Too many fathers are AWOL, missing from too many lives and too many homes. They've abandoned their responsibilities. We need families to raise our children. We need fathers to recognize that responsibility doesn't just end at conception. That doesn't just make you a father. What makes you a man is not the ability to have a child. Any fool can have a child.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
What's going on, folks? Welcome back in. 909-265-9189 is your calling number. Welcome back in, Adam Arthur and Kathleen Williams. Very good conversation going on. Physical fitness. Ooh, I'll let you ladies and gentlemen get back to it, Kathleen.
Well, I just wanted to shout out to everybody who's in the chat room, in both chat rooms. And thank you so much, Regine Rousseau, the author of Clothes and Lilies, the friend to the show, of course. She's been here several times before. And she said, Kathleen, I'm glad you're discussing this topic. Yes, I think that many black women are overweight and make excuses for it. So, even though many of us are saying, well, no, it's not a race thing, I've heard it over and over again. And today, actually, I saw in, if you all have seen the blog by Dr. Boyce Watkins, I think has a blog called Your Black World, and one of the articles in there was, is it a staple of black womanhood to have a big rear end? That's not what they use. That's not the term they use, but a little junk in the trunk. So that's one of the comments that I've heard, you know, and Ronnie, now you know that whenever the skinnier you get, people are going to say, girl, I know man's going to want you that skinny, you better put on a little weight, you know, especially the black guys want something to hold on to. Now, right. Tell me you haven't heard that.
Nothing, don't nobody want a bone but a dog.
That's right. Nobody wants a bone but a dog. I mean, you've heard it over and over and over again. So, Devon, talk to us. You can't even talk. You're laughing.
He's heard it, too.
Me for laughing.
He's heard it, too. That's why he's laughing.
No, I mean, as far as the junk in the trunk, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but personally, I like a nice fit in the jeans. You know, somebody who's not beaten out of the jeans. I don't want, you know, I want a nice, you know, nice something I can be stimulated with, that I can look at, but I don't want a donkey. I don't want to walk around with a horse.
A donkey?
You know.
A horse? Oh, gosh. Listen, you, but no.
Well, you asked him.
I mean, I have to be realistic about it because there's a lot of people who have big butts, but it's just out of control sometimes.
Okay.
There you go.
You don't like pork. Okay. Well, and the other thing too, Ronnie, when we lived in Los Angeles, the women had to be bone thin. Everybody was bone thin. Back then.
It hasn't changed.
Huh?
Hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed. Oh, okay, because I thought when I went back that the people had gained about 10 pounds. It seemed like there were a little few more women that were a little bit heavier than they were when we lived there. But,
so now they're 100 pounds.
Yeah, instead of 90. But now when I go back, I'm clear that, okay, I'm on another coast and I need to step it up because in New York, you have about 8 months in a coat. So you think, well, I can hide out a little bit here for a few minutes, or I need to carry a little bit more weight in order to not be cold all year round. But
not in Manhattan, though.
Yeah,
you go
no,
to Manhattan, the women are, they are, if they go between a tree or behind a tree, you can't see them. They are too, I mean, they're like slithers of people. They're very, very, very extremely thin.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because then does obesity, and I've heard this when I used to study, you know, in nursing school and so forth, they say obesity is related to poverty. So in Manhattan, you're going to see women who tend to have a little bit more money, more education and so forth, and they tend to be thinner. So is it related, do you think, the whole obese concept or tendency towards being overweight is more
Devon
common?
Devon said it's not true.
No, who's giving you those statistics?
That's asking the question, and that is something that well, in the textbooks anyway, that's something that they talk about.
Well,
you're saying
educate.
The more educated, the more fit, and I believe that is a fact.
The more educated, the more fit. It's not. It doesn't hold true across the board, because look at Nancy Grace. Even though she's not African American, but look at Nancy Grace. She looks, you know, like a woman.
She's gained a little weight. She used to be much thinner.
Yeah, she gained some weight. She had two kids. She had twins.
Okay.
But she's not. She's very educated, highly educated, but she's not bone thin. But Barbara Walters, on the other hand, is to the bone. Jennifer Hudson just lost, like, what, 80 pounds?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody said that she had surgery also in addition to the Weight Watchers, but...
I believe that. But okay, she has the means. Now, when I walk around, I look at the African-American women for the most part. It depends on the age group, too, because the youth seem to be more on the slimmer side. The middle-aged women seem to be a little bit more healthy on the heavier side. But I think in general, okay, the last job I had here, I got a job and the women went off on me. They brought me second Saturday I was there, they brought me a whole bag of bagels. And they threatened to hit me if I didn't eat one. You remember what I had to suppress, Devon? Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I mean,
because he said the prayer pressure, and that's what brought that back. I forgot they brought a whole bag of bagels.
All right, let me elaborate just a little more on that. A lot of the times, men are attracted to women with confidence. It doesn't matter what their weight is, but in the aspect of when you talk about celebrities, you know, a lot of them do that because of their livelihood. Like, this is how they have to look on TV or whatever. As far as the obesity in the neighborhood, like, I'm looking at it from everyday walks of life. I don't think it has to do with your status. I just think it's just the mentality of the individual. Either you're fat or you're not, or you're medium, or whatever the case may be. There's no certain look that a person should have as far as size. Like Star Jones, I think Star Jones doesn't look that good slim. I think she looks better heavy. That's just my opinion. But some people wear the weight well, some people don't. You know, you can't go upon to the peer pressure is just from the eating food of what's in your group surrounding, or where you go to work, or where you go at home, and whatever the case may be. But you, as an individual, have to be disciplined enough to say no.
Okay,
well,
so back to not having any friends if you don't eat, because it's the truth. Kathy, you know I'm not telling untrue.
You don't need to hang with those friends. You shouldn't be with those friends if they're telling you to eat. You could have if that's the case, then bring your own meal when you go to their house.
Well, that really will get you a bunch of friends.
Because
whatever you eating is going to make me fat.
That's why I picked up a little weight. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I wanted to have some friends. But wait a minute. So hold on. Covina Man in the chat room says weight is one of the big reasons when black men look for other races of women. And then it says if a black woman gets in shape, she is likely dating a white man or is trying to. Does anybody want to comment on that?
I'm gonna plead the fifth.
That's funny. Sometimes, most of the time that when it comes to, again, what we could say with our peer groups or black women or whatever the case may be, a lot of the times eating healthy is expensive. It's not so much that, you know, it's easy to buy the bad things. It's least expensive. It's like to buy
pork,
which I think is very bad for you. I'm sorry?
I said amen.
Oh,
because you can
easier,
buy a box of Popeyes,
you know,
for like less than $20.
Right. Yeah, you can buy a bucket of chicken for ten bucks, you know, whatever, for like 12 or 13 pieces. But at the same time, is, you know, in certain areas, even where you live at geographically, they don't have certain places that will just sell junk. You know, that's also a fact, or a factor to most people.
Okay, you know where we are, Kathleen? There's no Popeyes in the whole area.
I got them all over here.
That's what I'm saying. I have to drive almost, 40 miles? 35 miles to get to the Popeyes? That's right. There is not one.
Now, listen to this. I went to
And Popeyes is good, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I think it's good. And I've driven the 30 miles several times.
Oh, my God.
A little roll tonight. Okay, listen. I went into one of the local bodegas, right? And I pick up a can of Coca-Cola. It's going to cost me $1. And I don't drink it because I don't drink soda, right? Or I do my best not to drink soda. So I go in there. I really need something to drink. And I look for one of those naked juices, right? So I pick up the protein drink. It's not really protein drink, but the natural drinks, all no preservatives and juices and all this natural really good
$4.69.
Hello. And I'm like, well, what? I could just pick up a Coke and be done with it, you know? So that's one thing. So, and then I went to the health food store the other day because I confess I did buy – I did order Popeyes last week, right? Because Popeyes is having I don't want to advertise for them. Not Popeyes. One of the pizzerias. They're having a sale, and the two medium pies, $5.99 a piece, and then you get some chicken wings and a soda for less than $20. Right?
But if you go to Whole Foods, where I go to Whole Foods, or to – we're allowed to say the names? But anyway, when I go to the – you know – the local places where we really, because I really, really, I mean, I have fun with the jokes, but I had Popeyes here because I lived over there where there was no Popeyes for like 12 years, so I had to, you know, get it in. But when I go to the Whole Foods, I spent $40 on some carrots and some lettuce and some juice, water, and no potatoes, no starch, no nothing, just beets, lettuce, tomato.
And no meat. And no meat.
Not a protein.
May I say something to that?
Please.
When it comes to soda, you shouldn't touch soda anyway. It takes off the enamel of your teeth.
No,
you
don't drink soda. That's
around.
What we're saying. If you want a soda,
right.
It's $1. If you want juices like beet juice and spinach juice and all that, that's going to cost you at least $20 for.
That's not true. You can always go to places like.
At the health food store, Devon, just one second.
Okay.
At the health food store, when I go in to get my vegetables, because listen, you are talking to two women who, like, are crazy health buff nuts, right? So we juice.
Yeah, so we're really making a joke about the Popeyes and stuff, but we know, we go hard with the juicers.
It's
we got
really hard.
Kathy, we
really
have
hard.
Three juicers over there.
I got three juicers over here, and I went yesterday to the health food store, you know, one of the health food grocery stores, and literally I did not buy not even an organic chicken wing. Oh, by the way, Ronnie, I wanted to tell you about, they had the organic turkeys for sale that I was going to order for Thanksgiving dinner, and it was $90, so I said, well, I got to go call my sister and see if she wants an organic turkey. I just might go find a turkey down at the river and shoot it myself.
And the what you call them is right. What do you call it? What do we have? What do the most people eat?
Not produce, the other one. I can't remember.
Butterball.
But anyway, listen.
The butterball is $36.
At Costco. So, like, forget $90 for organic chicken. He's talking about we grow it specifically for you, and it's fresh, and we'll kill it a couple days before and send it in. And I was like, okay, well, you need to send me the farm for $90. But anyway, so I bought some greens. I bought bok choy. I bought broccoli. I bought just some oranges, some apples, and some spinach, fresh spinach, organic spinach, and, and some beets. And some parsley and some other stuff. $77. I didn't even get a quart of milk. $77. I had three bags.
Any cheese?
Huh?
Did you have cheese?
Right.
Any cheese?
I'm about to give you the short list to Diet Plan Central.
Okay, go.
Okay. The inexpensive stuff that you can get and don't spend that much money.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Let me get my pen. Hold on. Let me get my pen. All right, I'm ready. Go ahead.
You can go to any local, like, Stop and Shop or BJ's or anything like that. Trader Joe's is a good, healthy store, but it is more than the average. But you should go to, like, the local supermarkets and buy, like, grilled chicken or chicken breast. It's, like, a pack of, like, 10 or 20 for, like, 10, up to 10 to 20 bucks or something like that, depending on how many you get. You should buy some tomatoes, lettuce, you know, you can make your, pretty much your own salad for yourself inexpensively. You should buy like two, was it a gallon or 5 gallon things of cranberry juice and buy some water, and then you can mix it. And then you need to have natural sugars in your body. It's also good for your blood. You know, if you want to treat yourself to a treat as far as like sweets is concerned, you can eat cran raisins. I know the music's coming on, about to go to commercial, right?
We're almost over, so go real quick because we might have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
You should buy cran raisins as far as, you know, as a treat to go out through the day if you get a little bit of a hunger. You know, you should really eat tangerine. You know, these are things that you should have that's going to be natural in your body. And maybe that'll cut down some of the obesity.
Yeah, but do the men like you better if you're bigger or smaller? That was the question, right?
It's really a preference thing. It's not really, you can't generalize it for all men. It's a preference thing. I mean, some guys like big women, some guys like small women. I mean, me personally, I just like a good one. A one that can think, who is educated, who's a nice person. It doesn't matter her size. Well, that's not true. It does matter, but it doesn't matter.
Okay. J-Ral, you want to weigh in on that before we go to the end of the show?
I have no comment. No comment whatsoever.
You're sticking it out.
We gotta go.
Come on, man. Stand up for the brothers, man.
Nah, man, you gonna fight that battle by yourself.
That's all I can handle. All
right, folks.
So are we taking the final break, or is this it? We're ready to wrap up.
Yeah, it's time to step out. Let's step out for a second. We'll be back to wrap up, and you can wrap up with us, my man. So step out. All right, coming up, final thoughts on Adam, where art thou? Keep it right here. We'll be right back.
Adam,
where art thou?
Sometimes love is like a losing game.
folks, I tell you, another great show here on Adam Martha with the very lovely Kathleen Williams. And Kathleen, before I get out of here, I'm just going to say one thing, my final thoughts real quick because we have a few minutes left. I just want to say, ladies, men, you know, if you have a female that you love in your life, take them to have a mammogram. You know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We want the mothers, sisters, and the wives to take care of themselves. And Kathleen, it's all yours, girl. I'll see you next week, baby.
And thanks for sticking it out, Jay. We love you anyway, even though you wouldn't go on record.
No,
that's
no,
all right.
No, 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 hell no, no, no. I did a show. No. We ain't doing it. Y'all going to have that. When y'all call people fat, y'all going to do that by yourself. I don't have nothing to do with it. Y'all have a great evening. Bye.
everybody, Ronnie and Devon, you guys have 30 seconds, and then I'll be wrapping up this this segment of Adam, Where Art Thou? Go ahead. Ronnie, you want to go first? Oh, I think we lost. So, Devon, you want to give us your final? Oh, wait. I think we should be. Sorry, hold the phone. Ronnie, go ahead.
Final clip.
You have 30 seconds.
Okay. I believe that peer pressure is a big issue amongst African-American women and women in general. I really do. And I think there's a lot of competition there, too. And if you're heavier than your other friends, you're going to try to get everybody to look the same way. So this way, if there's somebody that everybody wants to, you know, that has their eye on a gentleman, then they figure, like, he's got to look at everybody. We all look alike. There's a lot of competition amongst women. Don't forget that. And honestly and truly, we all need to take better care of ourselves. And just for the sake of our generation, we need to take care of our health. Get healthy. You know, forget about who we look good to or who we don't look good to. Try to get healthy just for our own sake. For God's sake, we need to be healthy.
Thank you. Devon, you have 30 seconds. Give us your final thoughts. Thank you so much for being here today. Lynn, let everybody know how they can get in touch with you if they want to talk with you further about being healthy.
I'm Devon from Champion Breed. My phone number is 347-280-6007 if you have any questions or anything regarding fitness. As far as the women concerned, I think you should be conscious of what you put in your body. Get periodic checkups with your primary doctor. Also, just remember that there is no competition when it comes to other women. You all are beautiful. Just have to maintain that confidence and be like that.
Wonderful. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. This is Adam, Where Art Thou? I'm your host, Williams, co-host, Gabriel. Have a phenomenal week, and hug somebody you love, and definitely remember, we are all what we eat. So if your desire is to be thinner, healthier, more engaged with your children, have a better relationship, just focus on that. And find out what you need to make and just set your mind to it, and make a positive conversation with yourself, with everyone else. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your children. Enjoy yourself. Have a great week. We love you, and we'll see you next week. I'm Kathleen. Have a good one.
You know, those are the things that when you're able to forgive and let that thing go, you get the healing. Your whole household gets the healing. Your child gets the healing. And there's an energy and a space from which you can grow now. Whatever you are going through, you can make it. I am unique, yes, but I am no different from any one of you. So I don't know whether or not it's a bad marriage. I don't know if it's domestic violence. I don't know if it's a foreclosure. I don't know if it's a job loss. I don't know if it's whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is because you're going through it and it's meaningful to you. But know this day that you can.
One of the main reasons that I think that it's important for us as single moms to have our sons and our daughters really involved in sports is because this is where they learn a tremendous amount of their skills. Communication, teamwork, accountability, responsibility, nutrition, health, wellness, self-consciousness, all of that. So So with that said, I thank you all so much for your time, and I'm going to pass the mic on to the next person, but I look forward to working with all of you a little bit more. Thanks a lot.